Everyone loves a good story and a good storyteller. But there is no storyteller like the Lord Jesus, and there are no greater stories told than the ones Jesus shared. In this study, Spiritual Stories, we consider the parables Jesus told and their application to us. These are truly the greatest stories ever told, and the Lord has something He wants to say to you through them. Let's join Scott Pauley now.
With some regularity, I have people ask me about the existence of demons and demon possession. And the short answer is there's a real devil. There certainly are fallen angels and real demons, Satan's minions, if you will. Just as surely as there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness. And Satan and all of his assistants, these principalities and powers and heavenly places, are very active in our world. There's no doubt about that. And can a person be demon-possessed, indwelt by a devil? Certainly they can, if they do not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Many times people have asked me, can a saved person ever be demon-possessed? Absolutely not. Because on the day of your salvation, the God of light moves into your heart, and I want you to know light and darkness can't live in the same house. There's not room in your heart for Jesus and Satan. But a lost person, surely as a saved person is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, a lost person could certainly be indwelt by a devil, and Scripture bears that out. The teachings of Jesus bears that out. Today we've come to one of the Scriptures, a parabolic section, that is often referred to in the discussion of demon possession, and I want to show you today it is really not about demons. That's not why Jesus gave the story. In fact, the story was not to show the devil. The story was to reveal Christ and God's intent for us. At the conclusion of one of our Lord's teaching sessions in Matthew chapter 12, he says this, beginning in verse number 43, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Now, in every one of these parables, there's usually a key that unlocks the truth. The key is sometimes found near the front door. Sometimes it's found near the back door. This one, I think, is found near the back door. At the end of the parable, he says, "Even so." That ought to pique our attention. So he's telling us who this is for, why this is given. "Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Who's he talking to? Well, if you read the context of the text, setting of the story, Jesus has been talking to lots of religious people who knew a lot about God and morality and the law and good things, but they were rejecting the Messiah. They were rejecting Christ. In fact, he's just said to them, you revere Jonah, but a greater than Jonah is here. You revere Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here. They were missing the God who had sent his only begotten Son into the world. They were missing the Son of God standing right in front of them. May I just say this to you today? Don't miss Jesus. Please, please don't miss Jesus. People start talking about so many spiritual things, but they miss the Spirit of truth, and they miss Jesus. And then sometimes people try to clean up their act. They sweep the floor. They decorate the house. That's the story he tells. But they miss Jesus. So what's the primary interpretation here? Well, remember, he's speaking to the Jewish people, and these Jewish people in their history had a season of tremendous idolatry. Remember, they had taken all the idols of the Canaanites and all the people that lived around them, and they were idolatrous people. And God cured them of that. He sent them into captivity. They went in, an idolatrous people, and they came out the most rigidly monotheistic people that have ever lived. God knows how to cure us of our idolatry, doesn't he? But when they came out, though they were monotheistic people and they believed in one God, they made it all about their religion, all about their morality, all about what they could do. Might I use Jesus' parable? They cleaned the house. They got rid of one devil. They got rid of idols. And they made everything spit, shine, and polished and became professional religious people. But the sad reality is, if you don't let Jesus in, if you don't accept the God of light and of truth, Satan just comes back around. And it's worse in the end than it was in the beginning, because you open yourself to even more error and more of the power of Satan and more of the kingdom of darkness. This is the primary interpretation. What is the revelation? Well, the revelation is that God wants us to know His Son. God wants us to know truth. Look, friends, it is not simply about getting all the bad things out. It's about Christ coming in. If you get all the devils out, all the wickedness out, all the worldly sin out, all the things you think are bad out, and sweep the house and decorate it and make it beautiful, and everybody says, "This is lovely," but Jesus is not there, then you are still wide open to the power of the devil. And so the great context of this parable is that Jesus wants to be known. He must be recognized, and He must be received. So let's bring it home to an application. How does this apply to us? Now, maybe you would say, "Well, praise God, we're not part of that wicked generation." Well, what made it wicked? You know, we tend to think of wickedness in terms of the things we're not doing. We look at other people and say, "That's wicked. Other people's sin, that's wicked." What about the wickedness of our own heart? Let me tell you what is wicked. It is wicked any time we miss Jesus. Bad things are wicked, but good things are wicked if they are void of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you may be the most moral person on the planet, or you may be an immoral person, but either way, we miss God when we miss His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the application is very simply this. We must come to Jesus. We must come to Christ alone. Only He can really conquer the devil. Remember in our last study, He's stronger than the strong man. Only He can drive the devil out permanently. You might be moral for a little while, do better for a little while, but only Jesus can make a radical transformation. And friends, when Jesus comes into the house, He changes everything. He doesn't rent, He buys. He doesn't move in and out, He moves in to stay. He doesn't come into one room, He comes in to take over. He doesn't want you just a little better, He wants you totally different. He backs heaven's U-Haul up to the front door of your heart and begins the largest remodeling project in the history of the world, bringing into you all things that pertain to life and godliness and getting out of you all the things that do not look like the lovely Son of God. Only Christ can do that. You can't do that on your own. Religion can't do that for you, and no one else can do that for you. Only Christ is greater than our sin and greater than Satan. And if you've come to Christ, let me give you this application. Point people to Christ, because morality is not enough. Church membership is not enough. A clean life is not enough. You may stop all the dirty, nasty things and say, "Well, I think I'm in pretty good shape now." But the reality is, you've just made the house of your heart a more sterile place where Satan can have a playground and do what he wants to do. It might be moral, but if it's without God, it is still wicked. You see the point of this parable. The point of this parable was really not about the demons. The point of this parable was about the Son of God. Let me tell you how to be very sure that Satan is defeated and that his minions have no place in your life and have no room to work in your life. And it is this: give Jesus Christ His rightful place. Friends, don't miss Jesus.
The parables of the Lord Jesus Christ hold tremendous truth and application to us today. And to help you in this study, we encourage you to visit our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, where Scott has prepared a reading guide to the parables that you can download and use. On our website, you will find many helpful tools and resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. Every sermon, each study, all of our resources are for the purpose of following God's Word and finding Christ's joy.